Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
7:12 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Second day in a row, I got to give you a little bit more information on the top story that we're covering. And sadly, if it weren't so commonplace, it would be more shocking. Crime in Milwaukee starts the day.
This should never happen. This is unacceptable, and everyone who hears this should be appalled and angered.
It's Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman. This is what caused that hours-long traffic jam that so many people were caught up just north of downtown Thursday afternoon. Here are the particulars. This morning, we know two teenagers are recovering after being shot by police. In fact, one of them may not survive. Her injuries are more serious than the other. One of the teens, that 18-year-old woman, she was pregnant. Her child did not survive.
As we're embarking on summertime, it is imperative that we understand, where are our children? As we hear in this particular situation, we have multiple young people involved in unacceptable behavior in this city. This is unacceptable. Parents, what is going on with your children?
Well, the children, according to police, were out carjacking and robbing people downtown in Milwaukee. In addition to the teens whom I mentioned were shot by police, four other teenagers ranging in age from as young as 15 to 18 years old, boys and girls, arrested in connection with two armed carjackings downtown broad daylight Thursday. Now, here's how it played out. According to Chief Norman, MPD then spotted one of those stolen cars following the incidents, followed the carjackers onto the freeway. 43 northbound, if you've driven through there lately, is a mess. Construction everywhere. And the suspect vehicle was headed northbound and got trapped in a construction lane. So there are some dedicated lanes just for construction vehicles in and out. Seems like the suspects shot up that lane and then ran out of room.
Realized that was the wrong lane to take.
Yeah, and active construction workers were on scene, according to police. And then MPD says an officer fired into the vehicle when it had already rammed a squad car once and appeared to be backing up again toward another officer who was immediately behind it. And also, you can probably extrapolate, Chief Norman didn't speculate, but said, you could think was probably trying to get away, get back out onto the freeway where further mayhem could ensue. So that's when the officer fired his weapon. Police Chief Norman, frustrated, asked about the fact that you've got this going on here weeks before 50,000 people come here for the RNC, day one of Summerfest, which brings people in from all over.
We are in law enforcement. We enforce the law. Policing the community is all of our responsibility.
Yeah, his point, he was asked, like, well, what more can police do? And that's when he kind of broke again. He's just like, look, we're the police.
Yeah.
So this is what we do. Somebody got carjacked. We went, we chased them, we got them. And authorities will sort out whether or not it was a justified shooting. But nonetheless, that's what we do. But what do you want us to do?
Yeah, there's only so much that police can be doing in a situation like this.
So the officer who fired the shots is on leave. It's West Allis Police that will investigate whether he was justified in taking that action. MPD will continue to investigate who among those six teenagers involved in this did exactly what with regards to the earlier carjackings and, of course, the fleeing from police.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
7:17 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Brewers don't come home until next week. Got to finish off this West Coast road trip through the weekend. Not a good start in the series and not a good end to game one against the Padres Thursday night in San Diego. Now, the Brewers did battle back. It's a tie ball game. Two outs, bottom of the ninth. Brewers trying to push it to extra innings here.
Another payoff on the way. And a drive to right. It is going to be a fair ball. And a walk-off home run for Jake Cronenworth. Just inside the fair pole.
Okay,
down
right. Yoel Piamps gave it up, but there was plenty of blame to go around in this one. The crew gave up four home runs. And on that and the mistakes, manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, we walked the leadoff hitter to open the game, four pitches that scored. We gave up two 0-2 home runs. Very unusual, back-to-back. I've never seen that in 40-plus years of baseball. 0-2 count, two homers, back-to-back.
Never seen that before.
Guy's been around baseball for a minute, right? You got a guy who's been in the game as long as Pat Murphy said. Never seen that before. That's new. Not good. Brewers and Padres. Again tonight, 8:40 will be the first pitch right here on WTMJ.
Overseas.
Basket.
Giannis says he wants to play in the Olympics for Greece. I never realized this. He's never played in the Olympics before. And obviously the Olympics upcoming here in Paris, and he wants to be on the court for that. He says he should be good to go. He admits he was never even close to returning from his calf injury for the playoffs and the Bucks when the Bucks were in the playoffs. He says he feels good. Hasn't practiced, though. He has not even been on a basketball court for 2.5 months. So hopefully all goes well when he plays overseas, and hopefully he can then return fully healthed for us
healthed?
In the fall. Yeah, that's what I'm going
sure,
with.
Sure, good. I like it.
Thank you.
Coming up, Porty McChancellor rests his case. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 7:19.
It's a waiting game now for former lacrosse chancellor, Dr. Joe Gao. You know him as...
Porny McChancellor.
After 2 days of testimony at a disciplinary hearing, a panel of educators will now provide its thoughts on whether Gao should be terminated for posting pornographic videos of he and his wife online. Gao wants to teach, and he wants to remain a tenured faculty member.
To do the kind of work that you do, you know, you got to be in great shape and have a lot of stamina.
So that wasn't the closing arguments.
Why is that the clip you always play? Where's the one with the laugh, too?
There's also that one. So that wasn't the closing argument, but one was given on Thursday, and both sides got to speak, including Gao.
Yes, my wife, Carmen Wilson, and I created a series of sexually explicit videos and books. We did so on our own time, using our own money.
That's what Gao said. He said, look, this was never even a thing until you guys brought it up, and then it became public knowledge for everybody. Now, to counter that a bit, I mean, they did post it online, so anyone could find it. It wasn't like it was hidden on a phone in their room or something like that. Anyway, Gao calls this, like he told us earlier this week on Wisconsin's Morning News, he called it a First Amendment issue.
I also want to remind everyone here that the Wisconsin state statute that guides this hearing, UWS Chapter 4, says a tenured faculty member has all the constitutional rights and privileges enjoyed by any other U.S. citizen, and can only be dismissed for just cause.
So now, prosecutors say there are other things involved as well. It wasn't just the porn. They
you call
say,
them prosecutors.
Right. Well, see, that's what's
right.
so funny
that's
about
so funny.
That.
It's like
can
a court
I just
case.
Say, though, like yeah. how silly this whole thing is? Like, it's almost even more silly by this kangaroo court that was just created where you have cross-examination, you had opening statements, closing statements, 2 days of testimony.
And they're not even doing it on campus. They're in like
a
hotel ballroom somewhere,
yes,
right? In
exactly.
Alaska.
Shout out the Omni Center.
Yes, yes. It's not even a courtroom, anything like that. Anyway, the quote-unquote prosecutors say he refused to cooperate in the investigation. He used his school laptop to utilize pornographic material.
Credible evidence supports the conclusion that Dr. Gao violated the university's acceptable computer use policy. Login credentials for pornographic websites were recovered from the laptop computers, and the X-Hamster form was found on the desktop.
Yeah, we got login credentials.
Whoa, mm-hmm. You mentioned that.
And also this. So this was kind of one of the messages that was made on Wednesday. Professor Linda Dickmeyer spoke. She's with the communications department there. And she says that Gao oftentimes just showed up in classrooms.
It became pretty clear that he wasn't interested in the content of the class, and it really was just an opportunity for the chancellor to come in and visit with students.
Yeah, she said that he would come in, offer himself to different professors to speak or whatever, then he'd go in there, and then he just wouldn't even really offer any substance. In fact, sometimes it would actually bring them back as far as their curriculum.
You asked if we would let you come into the class, and we provided an opportunity for what we called, for lack of a better word, to be a co-teacher. And in those cases, it just became difficult for folks to manage their classes because you would not come prepared or actually respond to or answer the questions or talk about course content.
You would just go in there.
Sometimes
carrying a guitar.
Right, and that's the chancellor. So you can't, if you're one of these instructors, not let him in. But they're saying he's coming in just goofing with the students.
His reaction?
Wow, I respectfully disagree with you on...
Yeah, he disagrees.
That, and nobody ever said a word to me that, hey, you're not talking on the topics.
And we know that this is true because Adam Roberts, who is phenomenally producing the show today, was in those classes when he would walk in.
That's right.
Yeah, so you saw it up close. Mm-hmm. So now the panel is in closed session. They spent all day Thursday afternoon in closed session. And the plan now, once a decision is made, a written summary will be sent to both Gao and to the school, in which case you would assume it will be made public at that point.
You know, look, here's the problem. It sounds to me like Joe Gao wants to do what Joe Gao wants to do. And that's fine. You want to do porn, or you want to hang out with students, and you want to whatever, but the problem is he can't be managed. He won't submit to authority in this new role, and that's another grounds to just say, sorry, we're done here.
Yeah. Lucky guy. That's all I'll say.
Right?
So we told you earlier about how a decision has been made now. President Biden and former President Donald Trump, who are debating next week, have figured out where each are going to sit and who has the last speaking opportunity.
Biden won a coin toss and got to choose where he'll stand. He chose the podium on the right. Now Trump got to pick the order of closing statements, and he chose to have the last word.
ABC's M win there. So Trump gets the last word. Biden, who won the coin toss, is going to be on the right.
Now, I asked you this before. Why, when it's your choice, do you not pick to go last? You want to choose where you stand?
And my thought was, at least, maybe they thought that was more important than getting the last word, because by then, who's paying attention? No, last word might
so
not.
So there is that.
But here's what Slate says.
Why else?
Because it makes you seem more powerful. In Western culture, we read from left to right. We watch theater and television that way, too. Our eyes end up on the right side of the screen where the host sits. In the theory of stagecraft, it's understood that a right word placement telegraphs royalty.
So, if you're on the right side, screen right or stage right?
Stage left, screen right.
Okay.
Stage designers hold that guests make a stronger impression if they enter from stage left, crossing in front of the host and shifting the audience's focus. That's what Letterman used to do. He'd walk across. Remember that? Late night hosts generally sit slightly upstage, farther back, and slightly elevated from their guests, which likewise reinforces the notion of a powerful. Power imbalance. I'm sorry.
Man.
So that's why.
So a lot of that is in our subconscious, right? It's what we read into what we see, because, even though you don't think. Like, I don't know.
Because Carson was always there, Leno, Fallon, all those guys. Because of that, that's why you're going to see Biden on the right side next week. Hanson. See, I told you.
I thought they only had one song.
Oh! By the way, speaking of Summerfest, we'll do Summerfest trivia with Tausch coming up in 10 minutes.
Hanson, I believe the BMO Harris Pavilion, or the BMO Pavilion is what they call it in the Summerfest grounds, tonight. Day two launches at noon today.
So Donald Sutherland has passed away, one of the most unique and interesting actors of a generation, 88 years old. It's fascinating. You talk to someone who's been around a while, they'll think MASH, right?
Hey, first thing I think of when I think of Donald Sutherland is Animal House. Creepy, weird professor.
But you talk to any other...
Boone's girlfriend.
You talk to the younger generation, they think Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, right.
I mean, the guy's done everything. One of my favorite films of Donald Sutherland was Backdraft. He played the pyro in Backdraft. It's phenomenal in that movie.
Could do it all, really. Like, can play the villain, can play the good guy, can play the guy who's kind of a little of both, you know, right?
His son announcing, Kiefer Sutherland announcing his death on Instagram and on X, but did not say what cause of death. And of course, he's 88
getting up
years
there,
old.
Yeah. 7:43, we've got Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger, joining us next. We'll do some Brewers with him, but there's big doings at the ballpark this weekend as well that have nothing to do with baseball. It's all next on Wisconsin's Morning News. Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Rick! 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 Rick!
Rick Schlesinger, Brewers President of Business Operations, on the line with us this morning. Hey, Rick, before we get into the homestand highlights and big concert this weekend, I saw a whole lot of people posting pictures with Snoop Dogg when he visited last weekend. I don't know if I didn't see you. Did you have an audience with Snoop?
I was a few feet away, but I actually did not. He was surrounded by cameras and players, and it was great to see him, and he was hysterical on the broadcast. But next time he's in town, I think I'm going to have dinner with him.
You guys exchanged numbers.
I swear, you were the only one that didn't get that picture, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, it was great. I mean, he threw some balls in our batting cages. He threw out the first pitch. He did a few long inning on the game. He talked to Euchre by FaceTime. I mean, he did everything. I thought he was going to come and serve hot dogs and pour some beer and do some of my work.
He seemed like he would do whatever. Hey, Rick, Kenny Chesney at the ballpark this weekend, Kenny Chesney and others. Interesting, it's happening at the same time as Summerfest, but obviously you believe that there are only a few tickets still out there, so clearly it didn't matter that these two big competing music events were happening.
No, I think the reality is you know, the promoters know exactly how to work with schedules of others, and yeah, we were not concerned. In fact, you know, we've got 41,000 tickets sold for the concert tomorrow, and there's maybe 800 tickets left. But yeah, it's great. So it's great for music fans. If you're not a Chesney fan, but you want to go down to Summerfest, there's great opportunities there. And you know, we have a great relationship with Summerfest. So you know, there's certainly enough people to enjoy both activities.
And clearly this seems to be working for Chesney because he's been at the stadium before.
Yeah, this is his fourth concert here, and you know he's a great performer, huge following, and he loves playing here. He loves playing in a climate-controlled environment with a roof, and you know while the stage has him covered, he doesn't want his fans to get wet, and he loves playing here. We sell it every time he comes.
So Brewers return home. We'll have the Rangers on the front end of the next homestand, and then the Cubs come back to town already at the end of next week.
Yeah, so we're selling standing room only tickets for the Cubs Saturday and Sunday games. Some tickets left for Friday. Obviously, some good availability for Texas. But you know, we're gonna have the defending world champions in town, and then you know, the Cubs for a whole bunch of reasons always a big draw, and these should be good games. And the standings in our division seem to change. As long as we're in front, I don't care. Right. But you know, one day the Cubs are in second, another day the Cubs are in fifth. So you never know what you're going to get.
So you had Snoop throwing out the first pitch not that long ago. You got Summerfest taking place. That means who knows? Someone else might be throwing out the first pitch.
We're always open to celebrities and people who want to have fun. And yeah, so Snoop was sort of a legendary experience the other day, and we're getting a lot of attention, which is great. He's an icon.
And we were joking with Craig Kishan, who was on this time with us a couple of days ago, about how, you know, All-Star voting is open. Of course, a number of Brewers, I think, ought to make this team. Of course, William Contreras tops on my list.
Without a doubt.
We're joking about how it used to be back in the day. I went to that game, the mid-afternoon game against the Blue Jays the other week with my oldest daughter, and she said, I keep seeing vote Brewers. What is that about? I'm like, well, it's All-Star voting. I'm like, in our day, you'd get the usher to give you a stack of about 30 of those punch-out tabs and think you were doing your part.
Oh, I remember those days, and you'd try to take a pen and push as many as you could, and yeah, we've certainly modernized the system, and you know, unfortunately, you're limited to how much you can vote, but the fact that Contreras and Christian Yelich are the finalist positions, we want Joey Ortiz, the rookie, to make it. He's close, so yeah, there's a lot of deserving Brewers.
Rick Schlesinger with us on Brewers 360 today. Have a great and successful weekend, Rick, and we got the homestand coming up next week.
Thanks, Vinny.
And once again tonight, Brewers and Padres with an 8:40 first pitch.
That's right!
Don't forget, more trivia with Tausch next.
Summerfest trivia with Tausch.
Yes, sir.
Idea Man.
This is the tough part of the business side of competitive eating, which I never thought I would be saying on any type of radio.
Innovator.
Joey Jaws is the GOAT when it comes to competitive eating. Now you get to see who's the next person up.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
If you are interested, the sports book says Jeffrey Esper is the one.
Espy! Old Esper is going to wolf down some dogs.
Last year he ate 49 hot dogs. I'm trying to remember how many Jaws has eaten in his peak.
Chestnuts
70
in the
something?
60s. Yeah, 60s. You're looking at a 20 dog split.
It's time for Tausch. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services. We'll be right back.
At 7:53, Mark Tausch around Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Kohler Services.
All right, day two of the first weekend of Summerfest. You ready for some more trivia, Tausch?
I am definitely ready. Yesterday, I thought we were okay. I think we'll be better today.
I'm excited for you guys. Okay. We'll start with OAR playing the Briggs and Stratton Big Backyard tonight. Crazy Game of Poker. This is one of their more popular songs. So the question is, who's playing cards? And what the song is really about. A, it's a song about a real game of poker between some of the original bandmates. B, it's about a man playing against the devil. Or C, it's about the singer and his father playing cards.
See, now, Tausch, you had great insight on this yesterday because you said all these bands are usually inward-looking. So it's usually a story about themselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Although yeah, I think I'm going to go C. I think, again, lead singer typically drives the bus, and relationships with dads always moves the needle, and I think it's, from a lyrical standpoint, I think C is going to be the right answer.
I like that answer, but I'll go with A just because, you know, sometimes these things are really simple. They're not about the complex. They're not about whatever. Just, yes, one time we had a wicked card game.
You are both wrong. It's about a man playing against the devil. Oh, there's the devil coming. All right, so let's move on to question two. Let's see. I want to make sure I get you the right one here so we have the right music. Here.
I'm not going to lie. You almost have to try.
You almost what?
No, I mean, Vinny and I have to try to get it wrong. Like, if we're both guessing different answers and we're still finding a way to be wrong, that's almost more impressive than getting it right.
All right, to the Goo Goo Dolls. The Goo Goo Dolls play the BMO stage Saturday night. So this song, Iris, was featured in City of Angels. Nicolas Cage, Meg Ryan. So the Goo Goo Dolls, their music has been featured in other movies. How many Goo Goo Doll tunes have been featured in a movie soundtrack? Is it A3, B6, or C9 times?
Nine would be a lot, don't you think, Tausch?
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it's the middle one. I'm going to guess six just because you already mentioned one. I think they were in the Armageddon movie, too. So there's probably four or five others that I don't know. So, yeah, I'm going to go six.
I'll ride with Tausch on this one.
The answer is C, 9.
Nine times.
Thank you. I can't name you 9 Goo Goo Doll songs.
All right, moving on to the next one. Motley Crue headlining the amphitheater tonight. We'll do two truths and a lie. Two truths and a lie. The first one, they got kicked out of Canada. The second one, Vince Neil and his buddy Ozzy Osbourne once stole a car together and took it for a joyride. And the last one, Tommy Lee once tried to hang glide from the Bellagio. Which one of those is not true?
All completely plausible.
I was going to say, I feel like when you say that with like normal people, you'd be like, no, there's no way any of those would be true. And here I'm having a hard time figuring out what would be. I'm going to go with A as being not true.
So that you think they did not get kicked out of Canada? I'm going to go with Tommy Lee off the Bellagio as being false.
Correct. Tommy Lee did not try to hang glide.
Not that he wouldn't.
So, yes, while on tour in Memphis with Osbourne and Neil both stole a car, took it for a joyride on Beale Street, then they smashed the windows and gutted the upholstery, among other things. And then, apparently, they were arrested at Edmonton International Airport with their spiky clothes. They had raunchy magazines, had some drugs. Then they made up a sham bomb threat at their Edmonton show. And Canada said, get out. Now, they've since been back. Canada did just, at the time, back in 1980, whatever, said, we don't want you here anymore. And there you go.
Yeah, when an American band is on another country's terror watch list.
What do you think that process was by Vince Neil and Ozzy to get back into Canada? Like, was that a 10-year suspension and they had to go and, like, plead their case to come back? Or how do you think they ended up getting back in?
You know what? I think it was probably around their second careers, right? After the crazy 80s into the 90s, got into the late 90s, and Canada said, okay, fine. And they probably were going to bring a lot of money.
Well, I wonder who reached out to who, right? Maybe Canada's like, hey, guys, if we lifted the ban, would you come back?
Nikki Sixx told Slate, years later, we fell in love with Canada, and Canada has fallen in love with us.
All right, now. I don't need it to be all good.
Thanks, Tosh.
Bet.